This is the Pitch Vision Academy show number 89. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy cricket show number 89. I'm David Hinchliff in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath in Australia. Well, this week we're going to try a short and sweet format. It seems to be popular with you guys, so if you have any comments or feedback on the show, please email us at micricketcoach@pitchvision.com. As usual, we'll still be answering your questions, so please also email your questions for us to answer and have a look at micricketcoach@pitchvision.com. David, our question for this week is from Damien. Now, Damien has a common problem, David. He's got a bit of trust issues with his captain. He says, I'm playing under 15s under a captain who always wants to bat first. A bit like Ponting, isn't it? And he says he thinks he can make a century every match. The last match we played, it was a wet wicket, and he won the toss, and the team voted that we bowled first, but he wanted to bat first, and the coach, who always spoils the captain, agreed, and let him make that decision. We got bowled out for under 100, and the other team got a drier surface and then chased the runs, losing only one wicket. This was demoralizing for our team, and how can we move on from this under the same captain? Well, David, it's a tough little situation, isn't it? Does Damien go on to trust his captain, keep the trust in his captain? Or does he sort of tell the captain what he thinks of him and try to get the players on his side? What do you think, David?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think a lot of it was said without actually saying it, if you see what I mean. If you read between the lines of that question, I think you get an insight, a little bit of an insight as to what's going on. Mm. What do you think, Kevin? What if you were in that situation, what would your thoughts be? Are you the type of person to stand up and say, I think you made the wrong decision there, captain? Or do you sort of sit back and not say anything and quietly think, oh, that was rubbish?
Well, if it was a recurring theme, David, if the captain kept making decisions against the team's wishes, then I think I would stand up and say something. Because I think sometimes the captain thinks that no one in the team is going to object to him, or he doesn't think that the team has other views, so he'll keep doing what he thinks is right. But if someone stands up to him, and then he'll have a think about it and say, hang on a minute, the team's thinking in a different way, so maybe I should start getting the team's input a bit more. David, you're a captain now. Do you take your team's opinions and perspectives every time you make a decision, or do you just make your final call?
Yeah, I think it's really important to garner opinion. I mean, what you don't—it's a difficult balancing act, because what you don't want to do is every single tiny decision, there's a committee of five people standing around you going, "You should do this, you should do that." But Mike Brearley was very good at this. Yeah. He'd wander up to the new man in the side. Maybe it was his debut, first class debut, and he'd say, "What do you think we should be doing here then?" Mm. And the confidence somebody gets from someone just wandering up to you and asking for your opinion, even though you know he's a good captain, he probably knows the answer already, but he still wants to know what you think.
Yeah.
You know, that builds up a level of trust between a player and the captain then. And I think, as you mentioned right at the beginning, trust is a very important thing.
Yeah.
So quietly garner opinions, especially with people who are liable to moan if you make the wrong decision. So
yeah.
Involve them in the decision before you make it.
Yeah.
So if you know, if you've got the classic moaner, maybe you, before play, you look up to the sky, you go up to them during the warm-up and you say, God, I'm having a bit of difficulty deciding what to do. If you were captain, what would you do if you won the toss? Mm. So then at least you've talked to the guy about it before you've even made the decision. And then when you do make the decision to bat, that guy is going to find it a lot harder to go, well, I can't understand why he batted there, because he doesn't understand why he batted. You explained it to him beforehand.
Yeah.
And maybe he'd have a point and you change your decision. But going back to the question. Mm. So what should the captain do? I think that's the first question you should ask. I would say that probably the first thing to do is make sure that everybody in that team knows why you are making those decisions. Like I mentioned before, if everybody knows why you are making that decision, they might not agree with it, but at least they know why. I wouldn't take tactics completely out of the equation. You do need to think about that. You do need to know tactics. You don't need to just do what W.G. Grace said, which is if you win the toss, bat, and if you win the toss and you're not sure whether you should bat or bowl because conditions are conducive to bowling, then bat anyway. How do you feel if your team bat first and then are bowled out for a low score? How does that change your mentality as a bowler compared to if your team have scored a mammoth first innings total?
Yeah, definitely. It's I don't know what it is. Even if you usually bowl tightly, as soon as you know that you have to bowl tightly because of your team getting, say, 50 or 60 or something, you immediately go out trying to bowl as tight balls as you can without taking as much risk as you can. I think this just all happens mentally.
Interesting. And do you find that works? Do you find you bowl better in those situations, or do you find you sort of fall apart a little bit and go, oh, the pressure's too much?
I think that depends on experience, David. I think when I was younger, in my junior days, I lost us a lot of games just by having pressure situations thrust upon me. But nowadays, when things like that happen, you sort of know how to deal with it. You sort of know what lines you want to bowl. You sort of know how you want to approach it. So, as experience comes across, I mean, when younger players, when they're thrust upon batting team, when their own batting unit fails, that's when the bowlers sort of do as well. But as it comes to the higher grades, that's when bowlers learn how to control themselves. And maybe that's when batting first, especially, becomes an important element.
And all this discussion, really, this tactical sort of discussion, it really boils back down to can you justify your decision to, even if it's just to yourself as captain, can you justify your decision? And then, if you look at it from the player's point of view, looking again at this situation, this particular situation where the team, where you batted first in difficult conditions, the batsmen in that team need to take some responsibility as well. You can't say that. It was completely down to the captain's bad decision, because if the captain does decide to bat in tricky conditions, then it's up to the batsman to score runs in those conditions. That's your job. That's why you've been picked in the side, is to score runs. So don't complain about the captain's decision. Instead, steel yourself and say, right, this is a challenge to my technique, this is a challenge to my temperament. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to stick it out.
Well, I find, David, if you give players a chance to have an excuse, like for Damien Seam, for example, every batsman in there would have thought, even if I fail here, I can blame the pitch, I can blame my captain's choice, and I could get away with it. I think if you give them a chance to do that, then it immediately seeps into their mind, and they immediately get all negative about it, and that's when the team sort of collapse. It has that domino effect. So yeah, it's all about controlling yourself psychologically and mentally.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's very, very hard, especially when when the whole team are in a certain mentality. It's very hard to get out of that. So, I mean, the ideal is don't get in that situation in the first place by taking responsibility. Now, the captain, I feel that although it's down to the individual players to do that, I do think it's the captain's job to make sure that the players know that that's the case. So, especially for players who are want to blame other things, to blame the weather, to blame the umpires, to blame the captain's decision, especially for those type of players, it's very important for the captain to be very specific about what you exactly want them to do. If you win the toss, you bat, and it's going to be difficult to bat, you need to go to your openers and you say, look, guys, your job today is to grind it out. Don't worry about the run rate. Just grind it out. Just give us the score that we can bowl at, and then go. And then they know exactly what they need to do. They need to go out and do that. And then even if you've got your flashy number four batsman who normally tries to score off every ball and looks magnificent on a flat track, even that guy, you're saying to him, look, you've got to play yourself in a bit here. Then at least they know. At least he knows what's. At least he knows the job. And if you say to him, look, I'll be quite happy if we have 20 in the first 10 overs, as long as we're 20 for naught, because that's a far better situation than being 40 for four. And also, it's important to make sure that everybody feels like they've had a fair go, because we're not talking about a test match here. We're not talking about a one-day international. We're not even talking about a first-class game. we're talking about a club game where people turn up because they enjoy playing cricket and they want to take part in the game. So, talking specifically about this situation from what we know, it seems to be that everybody's kind of lost faith in the captain and it's a bit of a disaster all round.
Yeah.
If you were the captain of that side, what would you do to try and get the team back on side with you?
Yeah, I think it's all about getting the team's trust again. And as you said, trying to involve the team, not directly involve them in decisions, but try and get their opinion so that they feel needed and that they feel like they are a part of the team. Because at the moment, as you said, people voting before the captain's made a decision and everything, it seems like there is no trust, there is no sort of team unity, and it seems like the captain is a different person from the team. So the captain has to let the team know that he's a part of the team and that he's basically just wants to direct the team in the right direction, and he's got to let the team know that. I don't know, but do you think that they should change captains, David, or is that the wrong approach to take?
I think it very much depends on the captain. I mean, if you were the captain in that situation, Kev, would you? I mean, presumably you wouldn't want to give up the captaincy unless it got so bad that you just couldn't. You know, you just think to yourself, well, this is a lost cause. There's no way back. You know, I'll do the honourable thing and fall on my sword. But I mean, you wouldn't want to give up the captaincy, would you?
Yeah, exactly. I think if I was the captain, I'd do everything in my power to get the team trust back again. And if it's just stay the same way, then I try and work with that. But if situations get worse, then I think, as you said, David, it's the noble thing to do is to step down from the captaincy. But if the situation stays the same, it could even get better. I'd keep it the way it is, and I'd use stepping down as a last resort.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the step one for this captain would be to get together with the players. I mean, it doesn't have to be a great formal meeting. It might just be just before a game, just say to everyone, look, I know there's a little bit of bad feeling around. None of us want that. You know, we all want to just, you know, have a play well and enjoy our cricket. So let's put all that behind us. I will make the decisions. I will listen to your opinions, but don't be offended if I don't take your advice, because I'm the one who's got to make the final decision. I'm the captain. And the other thing I'll do is I'll make sure everybody gets a fair go. I promise I'll do those two things. I will listen to you. I will make sure everybody gets a fair go. But what I want you to do in return for those things is I want you to take individual responsibility for your job in the team. And a good way to get people to listen to that is to tell it in the way of story. So you can say something like, you know, take an example from Test match cricket or from One Day International cricket and say, this is how they do it. You know, this is what happened to the Australian team, you know, last year, and this is how they dealt with it. And use it a story rather than just say, this is what I want you to do. And that helps people to sort of be on your side and to like you a little bit more to understand where you're coming from. And it may seem a little bit shallow, but to me, I think one of the most important jobs as the captain is for people to like you.
Yeah.
Because if people like you as the captain, then they're more likely to do what you ask them to do.
Exactly. You can't lead a team if they don't like you.
It makes it a heck of a lot more difficult. I mean, you can do it with respect. You know, if you're an extremely talented player and you do go out and score a lot of runs or take a lot of wickets, then you can do it just on the weight of respect. But it's so much easier if you're a person who everybody likes. And people like, and certainly in a cricketing term, people will like you if you listen to them and you give them a chance. If you do those, if you just do those two things as a captain, then most people will like you. Certainly in cricketing terms, most people will like you, even if maybe you don't get on personality-wise off the field. On the field, if someone says, I like him as a captain because he gives me a fair go, but off the field I think he's a complete idiot, well, at least you're halfway there. You don't necessarily have to be a nice guy for people to like you, but you do have to care about the cricket that people are playing under you.
Well, that's all we have time for today. If you want to get in touch with us or you have any questions, you can email us at micricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's micricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Or you can contact us through our website at www.pitchvision.com. Don't forget to give us feedback on how you think the shorter format of the show is. And also, if you have any ideas for content or any ideas for interviews on who you'd like to see interviewed, any topics for interviews you'd like to see happen, please also email us through micricketcoach@pitchvision.com, or you can contact us through our website. So for now, this is Kevin Sampath from Sydney, Australia, signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.